We are joined on the line by Maulana Ashraf Dokrat. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakumullah khairan for joining us this morning on the book review program. Maulana, the book that we're looking at this morning, Ismail Muhammad, Liberating the Law, by Muhammad Anwar Surti and Quraish Patel, published by the Project Justice Trust. What is the book about, Maulana?
Maulana, this book, like the title suggests, is a biography of the late Chief Justice of South Africa, Ismail Muhammad. The book is titled Ismail Muhammad, Liberating the Law. And this is the first and most extensive full-length biography of this influential legal mind that we have. When the book was launched, there was a small write-up. Let me just read that one. It says, Justice Muhammad insights and analysis brought about refinements in the law that enlarged the scope of freedom and dignity during apartheid. He spent his life in the service of law to establish justice, contributing to laying the foundation for human rights. As a fearless advocate, he challenged immoral and repressive legislation and executive action, developing the common law, especially in areas of administrative and public law. As a judge, he was at the forefront of a radical and visionary constitutional reformation. Muhammad's vision of a human rights culture predated our transition to democracy. Throughout the book, we are constantly reminded of his deep love for and understanding of the law, his unmatched oratory, his passion, and his unwavering commitment to human rights. So that is the biography, almost a small snippet that explains what the life of Ismail Muhammad is about and what this book is concerned with. In other words, it hopes to deal with the life and of this important figure in South African history, Judge Ismail Muhammad.
And Maulana, can you tell us about, you know, the structure of the book? How is the book structured?
Maulana, then the book comprises of four sections. Section one consists of the main part of the book, and this is preceded by a foreword by President Cyril Ramaphosa. In the opening chapter, the authors, Muhammad Anwar Surti and Quraish Patel, explained that just as Judge Ismail Muhammad was a people's judge, they too have produced a book that will appeal to the general public. So this is a book that doesn't require any specialist knowledge of the law for you to get access to the book. And also, they, for example, show that Ismail Muhammad was really a person who was about getting closer to the people. There's at the time they mentioned that Ismail Muhammad was appointed, then the old guard of the judiciary, who were entrenched in their old ways, were actually being replaced by somebody new. And Zapiro, the famous cartoonist, depicts this in a cartoon, where he's got Ismail Muhammad moving out people from the old judiciary, and he said, let's begin by getting closer to the people. So in this book, Surti and Patel also tell us that they want to make this book accessible to the general public, and one does not have to be very knowledgeable in the law or in the jargon of the law to appreciate this book. The introductory, after this introductory chapters, there is a chapter two that deals with a family portrait. This looks at Ismail Muhammad's life from his early days, Prince Louis Street in Pretoria, and the environment there, and his early schooling, etc. Chapter three, titled An Extraordinary Life, is a good summary of his life and his achievements in a few pages. In only 16 pages, the authors are able to give quite a concise summary and a comprehensive summary of his life, I think. Chapter 4 is titled Defending the Future Leaders, the Terrorism Trial. Chapter 5, The Parts of Muhammad and Justice Dikgan Moseneke. Now, we know that Moseneke himself is an important person, and he recently has written two books of his own. The one we spoke about early on, I think 2 years ago, when it was first released, My Own Liberator, and that book won many awards, including the South African Literary Award for Creative Nonfiction. Sorry, Mullen. And then the book All Rise, a judicial memoir, is also Moseneke's book that he's written quite recently. The next chapter looks at Danny Chetty and the Group Areas Act. There's a chapter that total onslaught, the Peter Maritzburg treason trial, that treason trial that lasted from 1984 to 1985. And then he's got a chapter on Bram Fischer and A Passion for Morality, subtitled A Passion for Morality. Chapter 9, titled The A-Team, this also contains an interesting account of Ismail Muhammad's defense of Ibrahim. Chapter 10 is a chapter titled The Journey to the Supreme Court of Appeal, and really marks an important milestone in Ismail Muhammad's career. Chapter 11 is an important chapter, both 11 and 12, that deal with influence of values on law. And the authors make some very, very pertinent points there regarding what Ismail Muhammad's approach to the law was, and how it was very much valued-based, and how he tried his best to make sure that these values are representative of his work and his efforts. Chapter 12 is titled Liberating the Law. And this is actually the title then of our book also, Liberating the Law. This chapter gives the title to the book, and is a selection of Muhammad's cases where it shows the ways in which the legal principles that he promoted aimed at freeing the law from racism and the ravages of racism. So I think the summaries that are given there of some of the cases are quite reflective of his life's work. Chapter 13 is titled Judging the Judges, and this has got to do with the TRC and what happened there. Chapter 14, the SABC, from state to public broadcaster, and chapter 15, the philosopher of hope, for freedom in our lifetime. Here, there's an interesting note somewhere that the authors make about the influence of the Indian Constitution on Muhammad's thinking. Chapter 16 is devoted to influences that shaped the life of Muhammad, including Islam as an influencing factor in the life of Judge Ismail Muhammad. And here the distinction is made between Islam and a secular apartheid at some point. Chapter 17 is titled The Restless Spirit, The Legacy of Muhammad, The Legacy of the biography of Ismail Muhammad, as a concluding chapter and drawing the various parts of the book together. So all these chapters in this first section are, I think, organized very well, each one giving the reader a clearer picture and building on the life, and not only the life, but also the philosophy and the values that Judge Justice Ismail Muhammad stood for. The chapters follow a very well-thought-out sequence. This is difficult sometimes in a biography where a person is such a multifaceted human being, and he has so many aspects to, and different dimensions to his career. So I think Enver Surti and Quraysh Patel have to be commended for the way in which they have structured this important part of the book, which is perhaps the crux of the book, the most important part of the book. But then they very cleverly add another section, section 2, which consists of perspectives by Muhammad's colleagues, friends and family. These are interviews, and then the interviewees later had a chance to refine them and add to that those interviews. They are quite carefully chosen in the sense that the people who are chosen to provide these interviews and who are interviewed are perhaps the people with most knowledge about Ismail Muhammad in his life. And this adds considerable value to the previous section, not only because it fills in the gaps, but also it adds some personal touch and gives a human face to the biography. So I think this is a very good way in which the authors have provided these perspectives for us as readers to fill in the gaps, really. And each one brings their own angle to Justice Ismail Muhammad and his life. The third part comprises speeches. These are some of the speeches that deal with a range of issues, from philosophy to the Bill of Rights. And these speeches are, you can see how the author, or rather Judge Ismail Muhammad himself, really tailors his speeches very carefully for his audience, but at all times making a very important appeal back to the values that he holds true in life, the values of justice, and he doesn't miss an opportunity to make an important point or to speak his mind when he has to. The late Judge Isup Patel had collected these into a book form or into a booklet form, but they were never published up to today. And thanks to now Muhammad Anwar Surti and Quraish Patel, these are now published here for the first time. One of these speeches is directed to a Muslim audience, predominantly Muslim audience, and people who are interested in finding how he would address himself to that audience and the type of sources that he calls on and the appeals that he makes there would find that speech interesting also. There's a fourth section that is important because it gives us some idea of the legal mind of Ismail Muhammad, and that is his judgments. So part four has got to do with some of his judgments. These are judgments that he gave while he served in Namibia, in the Constitutional Court in South Africa, and also at the Supreme Court of Appeal. So all in all, Bonana, I think this is what the book consists of, and these are the four sections or the four divisions of the book then.
And Marana, as you mentioned there, that he was the first Muslim Chief Justice in South Africa, this is certainly important.
Yes, Marana, I think this is important for the Muslim community. And in that sense, I think, Muhammad Anwar Surti wanted to capture this not only that he's a Muslim, but generally his contribution. And I think he does both these things. He captures his contribution as a judge, but also to some extent, when he speaks about the influences that the things have had that have shaped the Chief Justice Ismail Muhammad, then he speaks about Islam as a force that shaped his ideas and thinking. But even if we just consider the ideas of justice and morality, then he wanted to make sure, Ismail Muhammad, that laws have to be just, and a Muslim would want that, and a Muslim would want laws to be moral. These are prized values in Islam, and his question was, through the judiciary and through the career that he had, was to achieve these two things, to make sure that laws are moral in a sense, laws are just. And at a time when things were very much against Muslims, when things were difficult for Muslims, when they were concerned about safeguarding their properties, safeguarding their rights, he in his own understanding of what was correct should have been, and mostly was motivated by his deen and the fact that he was a Muslim. He came from a generation that did their best under their circumstances and according to what they understood of the religion, and whatever their understanding of the religion was, they tried their best then to serve the cause of Islam and serve the cause of Muslims. So I think that you're right. There is an element of a Islamic concern. I mean, he took up the case of against the Qadianis in South Africa, and he did a very, very sterling job. Our Amir Maulana Abbas Ali Jinnah speaks about the fact that he was able to digest and take in a lot of information, technical information, very, very quickly. So there's no doubt about his genius and about the fact that all these contributions that he made to the cause of Islam.
And Maulana, this book, could you tell us, you know, where the book is available and so on? And also, who would be interested in reading this book?
Maulana, I think anybody who's interested in the history of South Africa, interesting biographies. Nowadays, Maulana, we seem to have a lot of biographies that have emerged, and we certainly in our book review program has also been doing some biographies, because this biography is a popular genre. People want to write biographies because the story in South Africa is such an interesting story. There's an allure, there's a charm about the lived experience of people as they went through the checkered history that South Africa had. So people who are interested in that, one want to know more about Ismail Muhammad, want to know about the contribution of important figures in the Muslim community, certainly, but also in the broader South Africa. If I can just read the blurb quickly, Maulana, if we have time.
Yes, Pa, you can continue.
The appointment of South Africa's first Chief Justice in the new democracy marked the ultimate triumph of Ismail Muhammad's life over racism. From his student days as a human rights activist and intellectual, his formidable defense of anti-apartheid leaders, to his eloquent and powerful judgments on the bench, Muhammad labored tirelessly to purge the law of iniquity. During his distinguished career, he articulated a philosophy of law and justice that honored morality as its foundation. South African President Cyril Ramaphosa, the former chairperson of the Constitutional Assembly, thinks that the Ismail Muhammad story is one that needs telling again and again. This important book will not only cement his legacy, but would also serve as an inspiration for the next generation of jurists. I am pleased that his selected judgments, as well as speeches on poverty, the rule of law, and justice are included, enabling the reader to enjoy his eloquence. Chief Justice Mokgeng Mokgeng describes Muhammad's life as a rugged determination to succeed against all odds, and a focused quest for the realization of our shared dream of a just and equitable society. So this is the remarkable story of an inspiring jurist whose compassion for all people aided in the transformation of society from inequality to dignity. So I think, Maulana, what anybody who's interested in knowing more about this person, and I think we must commend Muhammad Enver Surti for fulfilling his aim and ambition of putting to at least down for future generations what he aimed to do, and that is preserve this important history. So I think this is a good contribution from both the authors, Muhammad Enver Surti and Koresh Patel, in that they've achieved what they set out to do. The book is a publication of the Project Justice Trust, and is available now in many bookshops. Okaf South Africa have also contributed to the book, and the book is widely available now, Maulana, after it's been launched.
Jazakumullah khairan so much, Maulana, for joining us this morning on the book review program, and inshallah we will speak to you next week.
Inshallah, Maulana.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.